survey reported that 50% of all Christian men and 20% of all Christian women are addicted to pornography. Addicted. So 50% of Christian men are addicted, which means a lot more deal with it.
Struggle with it. And 1/5 of all women, which is, I didn't even know that number was as high as it is. So that means statistically there's people here that are dealing with it. And my goal tonight is not to blame or shame or anything like that. It's to offer some hope about dealing with pornography. And in fact, I can't really blame us because I've had to deal with this myself. And that's really what I want to talk tonight about. I want to talk about my personal story and what I've kind of learned about the recovery, you might say, from an addiction to pornography. So I started pursuing Christ in my life in a very big way when I was 17 years old. I don't know if I was saved before that. I don't know if it's salvation. I call it my changing faith because it's when my life changed and I started pursuing Christ in my life. I was 17 years old. However, just because I started pursuing Christ, I still struggled with pornography for a long time after that change. And again, that change was not superficial. It was an absolutely sincere change. My life changed drastically, but still dealt with this issue of pornography. Now, back when I dealt with it, so I'm, almost 52, there was no internet, so it wasn't the internet that I was dealing with. I was dealing with magazine racks, and back then, when you went into a 7-Eleven or something like that, they didn't cover them up like they do today. And so, as a teen and going into my early 20s, the biggest thing that I dealt with at that point was just going in and seeing these pictures everywhere I went, into any 7-Eleven particularly. And so even though I was pursuing God seriously in my life, I still struggled with trying not to. It wasn't something I dove into. I really struggled, though, with not looking at these magazine racks. And then things got worse. I took a job at UPS when I was about 23 or 22. And that was the most difficult because I was I had a business route, and I'm telling you, every single, and you guys that have been, if you've had jobs in trucking, in truck stops, or not truck stops, but anything with a dock in it, everything in those areas, there's plastered posters. Every single stop, I think, had posters plastered everywhere. And that, so all day long, every single day, I had to deal with the temptation of just looking around me in any way. And through that, again, I was pursuing Christ in my life. And I want to make that really clear because those of you that are dealing with pornography, it's easy for others to feel like, well, you must not be too spiritual. No, it's not that simple. I truly was, and I would pray about this issue, and I would struggle to, and I would try to use self-discipline and make commitments of how I was going to act while I was going to these various stops every single day, and I was reading my Bible all the time. Again, I had Christ in my life, but I still struggled with all of these pictures everywhere I went, because the temptation was just literally everywhere. And then, I finally got out of UPS after a few years, and I moved into a management job, and there was a whole lot less temptation in the management job. I didn't have to, constantly be going to all these truck stops. And so even though the problem wasn't as persistent, it's still, when I went into the 7-Elevens and, what have you, I still dealt with the struggle of pornography. So so the career helped, but it didn't stop the issue for me. Again, I grew in the Lord as time went on. I continued to pray I continued my scripture reading. I grew. I was growing stronger and more mature. And yet, I just couldn't kick the pull to pornography. For a while, one of the things that I would go through was, in fact, for a long time, the whole time I was dealing with it, it was what I call time out from God. And I've kind of talked about this, but what it is that if I found myself being pulled into pornography and I'm so, you know, whatever's going on, I would feel so guilty that, you know, God, you know, I'm kind of like, I felt like God put me in time out, that I can't really relate to him. Because, you know, I'm kind of bad, and so I'm bad, therefore I can't really relate to him because, you know, I'm bad. So I'm kind of not in the doghouse, but in time out. And so I felt like God really probably didn't love me very much at that point. And, you know, I was ashamed of myself is ultimately what it is. And so I felt like I was put in time out. And so that was a feeling I dealt with a lot. I made sometimes solemn commitments that I will, because I wanted so bad to live a strong Christian life, and I would commit to God and myself, God, you know, I'm absolutely never, ever, 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 and then next thing you know, I was still dealing with pornography. I was still struggling. It was just so frustrating that I could not seem to just completely eradicate the pull that I was experiencing. So I ended up feeling, probably in a nutshell, I felt guilt, I felt shame, certainly defeat. I felt like my prayers were like a worn-out recording. You know, here I've prayed to God over and over and over for forgiveness, and you do it again. And then you pray for forgiveness, and then you do it again. You pray for forgiveness, and you do it again. You pray for... And I felt like, you know, God, I would be tired of listening to me myself. And certainly you are tired of listening to me apologize and be more serious and be this time really, really serious. And at the end of the day, if you're so serious, then don't do it, right? And so I felt like certainly God has to be doing nothing but shaking his head at me because I couldn't seem to eradicate the problem. So in my most humbled state, meaning that after dealing with this for quite a number of years, I reached this point where I felt like, you know, am I forever? Is it going to be like this the rest of my life? That I am just, that's who I am? And I say a humbled state because I felt like an absolute loser. I cannot solve this problem. I'm stuck. I'm a loser. And I felt this humbled state of God. I don't know what to say. I know you're tired of hearing my stories. You're tired of hearing my excuses, my asking forgiveness, my commitments. It's just worn out. And in that humbled state, a thought came to me that was just a little different than how I had been thinking prior. I thought, you know, it's really a good thing that my hope isn't in who I am. That's really a good thing. But my hope is in who Christ is. And I was thinking, you know, really it is in Christ. Because Christ, it's because of Christ's life that he was able to offer himself as the perfect Lamb of God. And I thought, you know, actually, no Christian. So in that sense, it was kind of felt good, you know, not just me, loser me, but no Christian, nobody has is good enough to be that Lamb of God to take away their sins. Nobody can make it. So we rely completely on Christ. And I was like, you know, it's really, it's a good thing. That my hope was never in me in the first place. And I guess I realized how important it was in this case, that it's just good, that it's about Christ. It's not, it really isn't about me. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. And that first thought, it triggered me thinking through some of these issues, that, man, you know, I may grow up in church understanding that it's all about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, but there's something about dealing with a sin that you can't solve, that it became so aware to me how much I needed a Savior, how much it was absolutely not in me to even solve this one problem, let alone that I needed a Savior. And it's in him that we become the righteousness of God. Not in me whatsoever. You know, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. That means me. No condemnation. I am in Christ Jesus. I was addicted to pornography, and in that state, there's no condemnation. That feels pretty good when you are stuck in sin, to know that there's no condemnation. I'm good. Before God, I am righteous. I am under no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the life-giving Spirit in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And it just became, as I was thinking through this, I was thinking, my goodness, my hope, it's in Christ. It's not in me. It is in Christ. And I, for me to be stuck forever dwelling on what I can do is the wrong kind of thinking. I need to be dwelling that my hope is in Christ. That is my hope, completely in Christ. It is not in me. In Christ, I am made righteous before God, even when I'm wallowing in my sin of pornography. Even at that point, when I am looking at pornography, in Christ, I'm righteous before God. That's what that verse is telling me. So then I thought, at this point in my life, I was like, do I trust that? I mean, I know the Bible tells me that, but do I trust that that is really, really true? That in Christ, I am righteous before God. And I decided I need to trust that. I need to trust that God loves me, and I need to trust that he forgives me. And that is what my issue at that point was. I've got to come to trust God that he really does love me. And then I was thinking about my time out. And because up until that point, I thought that whole time out was God doing it to me. And the more I thought about it, I was like, no, wait a minute. There's no condemnation. And he loves me even in that state. And if he loves me in that state, then the whole timeout thing, what's going on there? And then I thought, you know, I think the timeout is self-inflicted. I don't think that's God putting me in timeout. I think that's me, out of my own shame, putting myself in timeout. Because I'm afraid of what he might think of me instead of what he actually thinks of me. I'm afraid, and I put myself in timeout feeling like, well, he'll accept me after a few days, then I get to come out of timeout. And then I was even thinking through it more, and I was like, I wonder if that's really a form of a self-righteous thinking. Because if you think about it, if you go in timeout when you're bad, what does that mean the rest of the time? That I think I'm good enough? So if I'm not looking at pornography, that means God's just so happy with how I am. I'm just that great of a person that he just, you know, you're in my presence because of your goodness? I thought, well, that's ridiculous. Of course, you know, of course it takes constant forgiveness. Just you know, every day of my life I sin. So then I'm thinking, well, then why do I think this particular sin puts me in time out and the rest of the time I'm so good I'm not in time out? And that, so I realized, no, that means that I was living in a certain amount of self-righteousness, thinking that God, you must like me now, and you don't like me here. And I thought, that's ridiculous. So the whole timeout thing, I decided that was wrong. Again, I went back to the concept, thinking that it's not who I am. It's who Jesus is. That's what it's all about. Trust in Jesus and be thankful, even when I'm in the middle of my sin. That was kind of the next thought that came to me as I was working through these issues about it not being me. That if Jesus is willing to forgive me constantly, if it's because of Christ's righteousness that I'm righteous before God, because I'm in Christ, then I should just be thankful. I mean, think about it. I am in sin, and yet I am forgiven. And so instead of wallowing in or feeling shameful and sitting over here, instead I should A, trust Jesus just like he says in the Bible, and secondly, be thankful for that. And be thankful for that even in the middle of my sin. Because I realize I'm still dealing with pornography. That is not over. And I thought, okay, if God truly loves me and I'm truly righteous before him, then that means that I should be trusting in him and thankful to him, especially when I find myself pulled into that sin. So I decided, okay, that's it. I am going to put my faith to the test. And this is what I'm going to do. I am going to do that. I am going to trust in Jesus and be thankful, even when I'm in the middle of my sin. So I decided, here's a close-up of my eyes. I decided, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. The next time I find myself pulled in pornography, I am actually not even going to try to stop looking at the pornography. I am going to forget the issue of what I'm doing, and I am going to trust that you love me at that point, right in the middle of my sin. Because, see, at that point, usually the last thing I want to do is think about God, right? Normally, even if I'm pursuing God in my life, the one time I'm not pursuing God in my life is if I'm looking at pornography, because then I'm feeling shame, and if anything, I'm trying to avoid anything about God because I don't want that feeling. And I thought, this is how I'm going to put it to the test, God. I am going to look you in the eye when I am in my sin, so that I will prove to myself that I trust that you love me even at that point when I am feeling the most amount of shame and the most amount of distrust, that you can like me and love me and forgive me at that point, at that depth where I feel so shameful and unworthy of you. That is when I'm going to do it. And again, I'm not going to look away from it. Instead, I'm going to be thankful to you that you love me. And I decided that is what I'm going to do. And that is what I did. And from that experience, I experienced an amazing amount of freedom in Christ. God loves me all the time. That is what I realized. And I did exactly what I just said. I decided, and when I found myself looking at that pornography, I said, God, I am thanking you that even though I am doing this right now, and even though I am feeling shame, I am looking at you, and I trust you love me right now. And I realize, God, you love me all the time. In Psalms 103, 10 to 14, The Bible says he does not deal with us as our sins deserve. He does not repay us as our misdeeds deserve. For as the skies are high above the earth, so his loyal love towers over his faithful followers. As far as the eastern horizon is from the west, so he removes the guilt of our rebellious actions from us. As Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on his faithful followers. For he knows what we are made of, and he realizes we are made of clay. I came to realize at that point, asking God or telling God, I'm going to look you in the eye, that it wasn't the sin that ever separated me from God. It was the shame that separated me from God. The shame is that I took that sin and put it on myself and said, you cannot love me like this. I actually didn't trust in the full forgiveness and love that God has for me. I thought it was conditional, and I was wrong. It was my own shame, not my sin, that was separating me from God. Soon after, my spiritually renewed mind, this is the renewing that I'm talking about, just realizing this truth that God loves me all the time. Amazingly, the craving for pornography left me. Now, I'm not here trying to give some prescription about here's how you get rid of pornography. But I'm telling you, this is my story. This is what happened to me. The craving left, and all I can tell you, I can describe it as a craving. It's like, prior, it was like I was always hungry. And if you saw pornography, it was like, you're hungry, you want some, right? And afterwards, it was more like you're full. And even though it's there, you don't care. And that was the change. I mean, this was a long time ago now. And it just isn't a craving. It isn't some hole in my heart that is constantly sucking me in. It like the chains fell off me. I don't have the pull, the crave, the need. It vanished. It went away. It was an amazing, amazing freedom that I found in Christ. In Romans 12, 2, it says, do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect. You know, it's weird when you put scripture to something, you say, well, that's what happened to me. I don't know what happened to me exactly. I'm just telling you that left me. But I believe that this must be what happened. That when I realized God's love for me, that I believe that it had to have filled a place in my heart, an intimacy need that I had to feel love. And so for some reason, I was feeling it through pornography. And then God, I believe, filled that whole so that I no longer felt that was the answer. That I know I felt like I was filled up in that area, and so my mind, I think, was transformed, because again, if it's not like nowadays with the internet, you can't hit a wrong button and something pops up. But see, if it pops up on me, if it would have popped up me in the past, I couldn't stop but pursue that. It can pop up at me now, and I can see the exact same thing. And now I say, I that poor gal, that she's doing that. That's the reaction that comes to me now. And before, I would have been pursuing that. And so there's like a change of mind. I'm not the same person. And so I believe that that's what happened to me in Romans 12, too, that it was a transforming, some kind of spiritual change, some kind of filling of that hole in my heart, that missing element that is now filled with Christ. When I'm exposed to pornography now, I kind of just explain that. I interpret it very different. And so through this whole process, I came up with some few, I guess, just final conclusions that kind of restated what I've already kind of explained, maybe more simply. Number one, God loves us all the time. This isn't just about pornography, obviously. Whatever sin you might be dealing with, God loves you all the time. We can always have relationship with God. No matter what is going on in our life, we will not be forced into some kind of timeout, some kind of you cannot talk to me until. We can always have a relationship with God. Our hope must only lie in the finished work of Jesus Christ, never ourselves. I feel like for so long my struggle was that I was trying to seek through myself the being worthy to be with God. And that it really was, and that the changing occurrence for me, the experience was to realize that it wasn't in me that my righteousness came, in being a good Christian. It was in putting my hope in Christ and belonging to Him. And He's the one that died on the cross for our sins. He's the one that represents me to God. Real change is about spiritual transformation, not self-discipline. I've read since then, you know, at the time that this occurred, I had not read books about this. This was a long time ago before I did a lot of studies in the Bible and things. And since I've read books, most of them talk about self-discipline. And I'm not against self-discipline. I think self-discipline is a needed thing. But real spiritual change, or real change, is, I believe, more of a spiritual transformation. And I think that's true in, again, not just this area, but whatever area you're dealing with, that so often as Christians, we seek a psychological change, or we seek, you know, a self-discipline change. And although I think that there's room to use psychology and self-discipline in our life, that true transformational change is spiritual. And that we need to go to God and seek change that is in our heart, a renewed mind, as it said in Romans 12. That we change from the inside out, not seek to change from how we live on the outside, the outside in, you might say. And we walk by faith in obedience out of thankfulness to Jesus Christ. And that's the final, my final conclusion. And what I mean by that is that, you know, my motivation for so much of the time was to pursue almost a worthiness for God's love and to pursue a point where I felt righteous and I was pursuing being a good Christian, pursuing I want to be holy, I want to be this, I want to be that. And all of that is, you know, it's about what I want to be. And instead, I believe God's wanting us to pursue Him, that He's wanting to walk out of faith and obedience, but out of thankfulness to Jesus Christ. Not to get to Jesus Christ. It's already been done for us. But now that it's been done for us, and we're not being condemned, and we are represented before God as holy, out of that thankfulness for what Jesus Christ has done for us, that we live by faith and obedience to God. Let's pray.